Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, so glad to be with you this morning. And let's jump right into the Word of the Lord. If you'd like to open your app and follow along with me, you can on the notes for today. Or you can just turn in your Bibles right now to Matthew chapter 14. And I want to talk to you about fear. Is fear gripping our land or what? This week I was at a restaurant. And I was there and I was looking at all the people and it was like, they were afraid of each other and afraid of just communicating. And I could just sense the fear in the room. And it was like, whoa, what's going on here? Come on, lighten up, everybody. But what does the Word of the Lord say? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What does the Word of the Lord say? It really just simply says, do not fear. And I want to belabor that a little bit and work with that this morning. Do not fear. Fear is a constant threat to our Christian walk. Yet God has said, do not fear. So are you afraid today? And if so, what are you afraid of? Let's go to Matthew 14. And I just want to look at this story this morning as we're launching into it here now. Matthew 14, starting to read in verse 22, we have Jesus and his disciples. And it says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray, and later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Just thinking of my days earlier, used to be a fisherman when I lived in another state and had a boat and would fish all the time, and sometimes the waves would catch us, and it was just so horrendous. I remember one time we were down in Nicaragua, and we were going from one part of the lagoon to the other part of the lagoon, and I had a bunch of young kids in the boat with me, and all of a sudden the wind picked up, and those waves were just crashing down on the boat, and the boat was, we thought we were going to turn over and drown, you know, even though the lagoon wasn't that deep. A just terrifying moment. And so here the boat's out in the lake, the wind is against it, it's buffeting it, disciples are trying to get across, and what happens? It says in verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost in the Greek. It's a phantasma. And they said, and they cried out in fear. Middle of the night, they're struggling. They're well acquainted with the boat and fishing and out on the boat in the lake. And they know that they've got this struggle going on. All of a sudden, can you imagine if you were in that boat that night? You're just kind of, you know, the wind's blowing, the rain's in your eyes. And you said, what's that over there? But hey, guys, what's that over there? And they're straining to look. Ah, somebody's out there walking on the water. I've never seen that before in my life. What is that? And they were in fear, crying out. Then Jesus said immediately, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, I don't know if he's yelling, winds blowing, whatever. I don't know if the calm voice just carries across, you know, the God voice carries across the water. I'm not sure what's going on, but in that boat, they hear Jesus, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And then we have Peter. You gotta love Peter. In the middle of the night, he says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, would you think of that? I mean, I wouldn't think of that. If I'm in the boat and all of a sudden I see something that I think is a ghost and it's talking to me, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. Really? Well, if it's really you, tell me to come so I can walk on the water too. Now, you got to love Jesus at that moment. He could have said, Peter, would you just sit down and shut up? I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I can do this kind of stuff. You just sit down, Peter. He didn't. What did Jesus say to him? Just one word. Come. Or if you're in Middle East, come. Or Russia. Or if you're in the States, come. Latin America, come. I've learned that as I've preached this all around the world, the different hand motions as I'm watching my interpreter, the different things for come. But the idea is, here's Jesus, and he just said, hey, Peter, come. And so what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. Can you, what man would do that? I see you, Jesus, here I come. He's climbing out of the boat, and yeah, guys, yeah, it's firm, just like land. Oh, yeah, man, this is great. Oh, and he starts to walk towards Jesus. And then the Bible says, but when he saw the wind, can you see wind? No, you can't see wind, but you can see what the wind is carrying. And in the middle of the storm, it's carrying rain. Right? Okay. The water is splashing. And I imagine as he's walking towards Jesus, all right, I'm walking on water. Woo-hoo. All of a sudden, psh, right up the side of the head. Boom. And he's drenched. Whoa. And when he saw the wind, he began to sink. Now, you've all been in a pool or ocean or something. And as you get into the water, what does beginning to sink mean? It's like either you're going down or you're not. I don't know what that means. Is the water all of a sudden, it was firm as land, and now all of a sudden it starts to turn to jello? What is this? Beginning to sink. It's coming through his toes. It's coming up to his ankles, you know. Ah, what? Beginning to sink. He had the peace of mind to cry out, Jesus, save me. And then the Bible says, immediately Jesus took out his hand. Now, he could have leaped for Jesus if Jesus was that close, but immediately, Jesus was right there and took him by the hand. Now, notice what the Bible says here when that happened. Then, but when he saw the wind, verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? It's like... First thing he does when he catches his hand is not, man, Peter, you and I are the only two in all of history to have ever walked on water. I congratulate you, Peter. This is really great. No, that's not what he did. He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Fear crept in. He became afraid when he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to look at the circumstances. What am I doing here? Nobody's ever walked on water. Beginning to sink, Jesus, save me. And Jesus immediately was right there on the scene. Now, throughout Scripture, we're told, do not fear. Actually, it's recorded 26 times in the Bible. 26 different people were told in the Bible, do not fear. We've got Abraham, we got Isaac, we got Jacob, Hagar, Moses, we're all told by God, do not fear. Joshua, three specific times, Joshua, do not fear. Elijah, David, Solomon, all told by God, do not fear. I've got great things in store for you, do not fear. Ahaz, Jehoshaphat, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ruth, do not fear. We get to the New Testament. Peter, James, and John were all told by Jesus, do not fear. All three of the Marys, Zechariah, Paul, do not fear. Is fear gripping your heart today? What does the word of the Lord say to you? The word of the Lord is coming to you clearly this morning. Do not fear. Let's go in our Bibles now. Or click on your Bible to Isaiah 41. I want to talk to you about fear for just a minute. The definition of fear in the Bible is a mental reaction to being afraid of something or someone. If you're taking notes, that blank there is something. A mental reaction to being afraid of something or someone. Fear. Are you afraid today? Are you huddled in your house? Yes, you're huddled in your house right now, watching this, or I understand that, but throughout the week, are you there in fear, or are you just there having a good experience with God, your family, friends, whatever that can come close, those that can, And so are you that way, or are you gripped with fear, motivated by fear, when you're thinking about doing this? Oh, I can't. Oh, no, I better not. Oh my. How about if your office opens up this week or soon? And oh no, I can't go to the office. I just can't do that. Or what is fear doing in your life today? Just listen to the word of the Lord this morning. Do not fear. The Webster's Dictionary defines it like this: alarm and agitation caused by the expectation or realization of danger. Second blank on in your notes there would be expectation. Alarm and agitation caused by the expectation or realization of danger. You're expecting something to come, and fear comes, and then it grips your heart, and then you're surrounded by a cloud of fear, and you're kind of just stuck, and you can't even move. That's not what God wants for us as his children. Can I hear an amen? Come on. Shout at your screen there. Yes, this is the word of the Lord. Do not fear. So let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, I want to look at this verse in verse 10. Isaiah 41 says this: so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I see five things here that God says you do not have to fear because of these five things. And I just want to get these into your spirit this morning as you're watching this and listening here now. What does the word of the Lord say? God says clearly to you, do not fear. What's the reason for not fearing? Here he's going to give it to you. Number one, for I am with you. I am with you. This is so great. We just got to ponder this a little bit. God is with us. Do you understand that fantastic promise? Over in Hebrews 13, elaborates just a little bit and maybe a little more applicable to our circumstances today. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6 says this: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Perhaps this morning you're having some financial difficulties. Maybe you lost your job, or your salary has been decreased, or you're working less hours, or somehow less money is coming in, and you're just starting to wonder, starting to feel it now. What am I gonna do here? Well, God's got some words for you. He says, you don't have to worry about these things, because never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Could you say that with me right now? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. One more time. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What are you fearing today? If it's financial, God's got the verse right there. It just says, don't worry about it. I've got you. I am Jehovah Jireh. I will provide. I will take care of you. Trust in me. You don't need to fear, and you don't need to let fear run your life or motivate you to do or not do certain things. We think about Psalms 23. Great passage there. Psalms 23, David, the psalmist here, he was a shepherd. Then he had a revelation one day that just like I watch over my sheep, so God watches over me. Psalms 23, that's the background of that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. And then, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the NIV, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Now, what David is picturing here, he's talking about how he shepherds the sheep, And sometimes they're in good green pastures, but sometimes they had to walk through these dark, the sheep had to be led through dark valleys to go up to higher pasture grounds. And in these dark valleys, that's where the predators would lie in wait, in the shadows. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know the enemy is there and they might get us in any minute. What does David say? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Changes the tense of the chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He. And now, in the dark valley, I will fear no evil, for you. It becomes personal, it becomes real. It's you are with me. I want you to take away with this today. God is with you. God is with you. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As we look at this passage here, Psalms 23, what is the point of it all? You don't have to fear because God is with you. God is the good shepherd. He will take care of you. He will watch over you. And he will never leave you, never forsake you. So as we're looking at this first point here in Isaiah 41, so do not fear, for I am with you. We see that God is always with us. Second thought here in this verse, Isaiah 41:10, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I am your God. This is an incredible principle in Scripture. I am your God. We don't see this in any other religion. We see it only in Christianity, where God wants a personal relationship with you. You, as you follow him, you can have a personal, one-on-one relationship with the Father. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, it's been talking about don't be unequally yoked together, what agreement has there with unbelievers, with the temple of God and with idols? For we, verse 16 says, we are the temple of God. The living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, God willing, come September, we're going to open up a Bible college here at Canvas Church, on the grounds of Canvas Church, and we're going to team up with E4 Ministry, and we're going to be teaching classes, and one of the main classes that we're going to be teaching is all about relationships through covenants. And we see that there's so many covenants in the Scripture, but all of the covenants are rooted in this one thought. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Come on, covenant with me. Cut this covenant with me. Come on, make covenant with me, and I will be your God, and then you will be my people. I will have a relationship with you. And this is what God wants with you today. He wants you to know that I am your God. You need to repent of your sins, then repent of your sins. If you're not a Christian and you're not, and you don't know that God is your God, you can make that decision today. You could do it right now. Call on the Lord Jesus, and he will save you. Believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, and speak it with your mouth, confess it with your mouth, and you can be saved today. That's what God says, because he wants to be your God. He wants you to know that he is your God. I will be your God, and you will be my people. So do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am your God. Third thought this morning here is he said, I will strengthen you. Why do you not have to fear? Because God says, I will strengthen you. Great Old Testament word, Hebrew word. The definition of the word strengthen means this. Fascinating word. It means to make mentally courageous. Mentally courageous. I will strengthen you. This is God's promise to you. Do not fear, for I will make you mentally courageous. You know what that says to me? It says that the battle is right here. When we're dealing with fear, or we're fighting fear in our life, it's right here where the battle is taking place. And God says, it's right there where I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you mentally courageous. Come on, believe this. I'm going to strengthen you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God is wanting to strengthen you today. He's wanting to make you mentally courageous so that you can come against anything that is causing you to fear. God says, do not fear. I will strengthen you. Acts 1:8, but after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Power to come and strengthen you. That's what God wants. I know being secluded in our houses, just under lockdown, having no one really speaking life into our spirits on a regular daily basis, you can get a little down, you can get a little depressed, you can get a little worn down. Let the word of the Lord come to you this morning. Do not fear. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. God can strengthen you today, right now, even as the word of the Lord is coming to you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of the Lord. And I'm believing faith is coming into your heart right now. Fear is leaving. Faith is coming in. You're believing the word of the Lord. When God says, do not fear, you're taking that, grabbing hold of that this morning. Says, yes, I have been living under a cloud of fear. I don't have to anymore. I'm going to be mentally courageous. I'm going to believe God. He's going to help me. I do not have to fear. Next thing God says is, I will help you. This is also another interesting Hebrew word. The word help there in the Hebrew means to protect. It also means to surround. If you're taking notes there on your notes in your app, it's surround is the blank. I will surround you. I love this. God surrounds us. I think of a story back in 2 Kings chapter 6. If you just click on there, 2 Kings on your, if you're in your app or in your Bible, whatever, turn there if you got your Bible open. 2 Kings chapter 6. We got this great story here of Elisha. Elisha and the bad guys are the Arameans in this chapter. And so let me just fill you in on the story as we start in verse 8 there. The story is this, that the bad nation was coming against the people of God. And what would happen is the king of Aram would just say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then the word of the Lord would come to Elisha. He'd have a word of knowledge, and he'd go send a message to the king of Israel and say, this is what they're going to do tomorrow. Watch out. And sure enough, the next day they would try that. But Israel was saved because the word of the Lord came. And again and again and again it happened until finally the king, he says, what's going on? Who's the traitor among us who tells what we're saying in my private place here with my lieutenants and my generals? Who's telling? And somebody speaks up. None of us, O king. But there's a prophet in Israel. His name's Elisha. I know where he's at. And he's telling what we're doing. Really? All right, let's go get him. And so the Bible says the king got his army and they went and surrounded. Now, the town is called Dothan. It's on a flat plain. It's not too large. And so the whole army that was sent surrounded this little village on the top of this little plateau called Dothan. Now, the next morning, this is what happens as we got in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. Now, what does a servant do first thing in the morning? I can imagine the servant, you know, like any Old Testament servant. He's going to deal with water. He's going to get the water ready for the coffee or whatever they drank. He's going to get the water ready to wash your hands or pour on your head or whatever they're going to do. And so this little sleepy servant, he's coming out of the tent and he's walking over to get the water and he looks and his eyes open up. What? And he looks around, and completely surrounding him was the bad guy's army. They're there, they got their chariots, they got their horses, their swords are out, their spears are out. And he knows, they're here for us. because he's probably the guy who's been running with the message to the king of Israel. This is what the bad guys are going to do. He knows he's there. They've come for him. And he says, oh, my master, says in verse 15, my Lord, what shall we do? Can you imagine him screaming out, what are we going to do? Talk about fear gripping someone's heart. One guy standing against a whole army surrounding him. Yeah, I would think fear would creep into his heart right about then. What does the man of God say? Elisha comes out of the tent, takes a look, looks around. Don't be afraid. Servant looks back at his master. Are you insane? What do you mean? Don't be afraid. They're here for you. They're here for me. They're here to kill us. What are you talking about? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant says, now I know you've lost it, master. Are you kidding me? It's just me and you. And they've got the army. Could you see the chariots? Could you see the horses, the spears, the swords? Oh, master, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. What are you talking about? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. I don't know if he did the laying on of hands. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. What happened? Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of tanks. Oh, I'm sorry. Horses and chariots. Because that's what they used in those days, right? I imagine if the servant's eyes were open today. Ballistic missiles. Oh, yeah, big guns. Yeah. Hills are full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So, got to get the picture here. We're in this little town, little village. The servant wakes up. Ah! Lord, open his eyes. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now they are surrounding, but oh, God, what's going to happen? And then his eyes are open. And behind the bad guys, the hills surrounding them are filled with chariots of fire and horses and angelic beings. And the host of angels are standing right there, ready to help. And the servant just had a mind-blowing experience. Oh, God, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. If we could see with those same servant eyes today, I believe you could see that your life is surrounded by God's protection. He surrounds you. He watches over you. He's guarding you. Do not fear. For I will help you. I will surround you. I will protect you. That is the word of the Lord. I want it to get into your spirit this morning so that you too can say, like the servant, oh my God, you're really here. And Elisha with that faith, let him see what I see. Can you see that help is there? Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The word uphold there, it's an interesting word. If the worship team could come back now. The word uphold means to sustain, but it really means to follow close. To follow close. You know, there is a New Testament word that means the same thing. In John chapter 14, just one last passage here before we conclude this morning. John 14, Jesus is talking, and he says this in verse 26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The Comforter, the advocate, the counselor, whatever translation you're using. The Greek word is paraclete. It means the one who follows close, the one who walks alongside. Same thing as in the Hebrew there, where God says, I will uphold you, I will follow close. So here, Jesus is saying the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to be alongside of you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always walking with you. Do not fear. I will uphold you. You don't have to be afraid. As we're closing this morning, let me just talk to you. Would you close your eyes right where you're at, sitting on your couch, watching on your phone, whatever. If you're driving, don't close your eyes, but come on, just pray with me for a little bit here now and focus on the Lord. Has the fear been trying to grip your heart this last week, this last 2 months? Something inside of you that just says, I really am afraid. Know that that's not of the Lord. Now, we need wisdom. Don't get me wrong. We need to live with wisdom. But we also need to live mentally courageous, where we don't have to fear. Let me pray for you right now. Father God, I pray for everyone watching this morning, and maybe those others later on watching. Father, I pray for everyone right now. Fear would dissipate. We reach out by faith and grab that fear and say, it's not of God. Do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. That is the word of the Lord for us today, and we take that in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that? Maybe you're sick in body today. Fear is gripping your heart. Same to you this morning. Do not fear. The word of the Lord says, by his stripes we have healing. We can believe for healing right now. We can believe for financial miracles right now. Whatever the situation is, we can believe that God will help you. He is surrounding you with an angelic army, even this morning. And we believe that. We believe it in Jesus' name. I trust that you've received something today from this message. If you want prayer, there's someone online right there that can get in touch with them, and they will pray with you right now. And we just believe that God's going to touch you. Thank you for watching this week. This is going to be a great time in the church. And Pastor, would you come one more time?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.